Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. It's daf Chof, and we're a little bit behind. We're holding on daf Yotes Amud Beis, and we got up to, on Yotes Amud Beis, we got up to the Tana Rabbana, Kedesh Yadav Raglov Bayon, is where we were up. There's about midway down the longer lines. Stana Rabbana, Kidesh Yadav Raglav Bayom, Ein Tzarich L'Kadesh Balayla. So somebody does, we're in the middle of discussing the dinim of Kidesh Yadav Raglayim, how to avoid keeling over, if you're doing it correctly, why it can't be done by Yeshiva. The machlok is about whether some Amida, which is through somebody being Misayeya, Amida Minatzad, whether that's considered to be non-Amida. And now, we want to know about the issue as to whether Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim becomes Pasul Belina. Because, I mean, look, the Me'ak Yor is actually inside of a Kli Sharis. Normally, when something is Kadesh, that had Kedushas HaGuf in a Kli Sharis, it, by definition, becomes Pasul the next day, whatever the next day is. That could be at night when it comes to certain Avedas. It could be in the morning when it comes to the Evarim. We're going to get into the details of it. But the question is there a concept of Lina at all when it comes to Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? And so, here it says that if you did the Kiddush Yadayim during the daytime, you can continue to work all along through the night. What would you do through the night? You're bringing the Evarim. You're able to continue to bring up the Evarim to the Mizbeach all night long. But if you were Mekadesh during the night in order to bring up the Evarim, then when morning comes, you got a problem. Because in the morning, you're going to be already Lan. And since at the end of the night with Amud HaShachar, with Alois HaShachar, it's going to end up being Pasul. So if that's the case, you're going to have to redo your Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. And this is Rebbe Shita, Divrei Rebbe. And this is a moment for a magical white wand. And this was the rule. Because Rebbe says, Lina mo'elet b'kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So this would be a Lina bracket eina mo'elet. According to Rebbe, Lina is mo'elet. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, since there is no water that is left on your hands, it's just a state of kashrus, doesn't become pasul because of lina. It's only the water that was makudesh in the kli. But what's lina going to be chal on a concept? I mean, how can lina be chal on a concept? It's not as if your hands are actually kadesh as an actual kedushas kli. And therefore, what's a child to talk about the Lina when it comes to Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? Now, we have what sounds like on the surface the same machlokas in different words and a different brisa. We're going to see it's actually very different. And each brisa is going to actually show something that the other one didn't show. So the lashon of the other brisa is like this. A Kohen was there, and he was working on the Mizbeach the whole night, and he was bringing things up on the Mizbeach and turning them over so that they would burn faster, and so whatever it is that he's doing. And there's more Evarim that weren't Nivsa in the morning, and because they were on the Mizbeach, he wants to continue still working with them, even though it's after Amud HaShachar. It doesn't matter. In the morning, he's going to need to do a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. This is Rebbe Shita, well, which makes sense. I mean, it fits with what Rebbe said before, that the klal is, as we know from Gavi's magic ha'ara, that Lina is mo'elet b'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So this is Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, I'm there. No. Once you went ahead and you were Mekadesh Yodah V'Raglav mitchilat avodah, you started doing avodah, you can continue doing that avoda for the next 10 days, as far as I'm concerned, because it's not going to be nifsa once you did it at the beginning, and that is enough. Now, this can't be serious, because this Kohen, in order to be able to keep doing that avoda for 10 days, would have to be standing on the Mizbeach for 10 days, because if he went out, I mean, even to urinate, he'd have to go ahead and redo it, that's for sure, anytime, as we're going to see very soon. And therefore, he would be a pretty superhuman. Also, he wouldn't have been able to fall asleep during that entire time, and that would be pretty difficult. So, and why is Tzuri gone? Okay, so that would be pretty difficult. So therefore, when we're talking about 10 days, it's a theoretical consideration, that's it. But obviously, in practical terms, it doesn't really mean 10 days. Okay, so this sounds like the same achlokas, right? But it's not the same achlokas. Because actually, if I knew one brighta, I wouldn't have known the other brighta. Why is that? Sicha. Let's say I would have known that first brighta. Yashmina kamaita. So I would have said, yeah, you know why Rebbe said in that case that Lina is Mo'elet? Because, I mean, over there it wasn't talking about he was still doing the same Aveda, right? It didn't say Mitchilas Aveda, like it said in the second Brisa. So maybe the reason that Rebbe requires a new Kiddush is because you're going ahead and moving on to a different Aveda. Okay, I understand. If there's a Hefsek between the Aveda, now you're coming the next day, so then, fine, Lina is Mo'elet. But maybe in the case where we're talking about, where he was starting on the Avodah, he's continuing to do the Avodah. He wants to do more halos evoring, or twisting him over on the Mizbeach. Maybe that's okay. And maybe Rebbe would be made to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon that as long as you haven't moved from one Avodah to the other, Lina is not Mo'elet. You can keep working for the next 10 days. V'yashmina b'ha, on the other hand, let's say I would have known the second Brayta, and there it says he was still doing the same Avodah. So maybe only there did Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon say that Lina is not Mo'elet. But if you moved to a different Aveda, maybe would agree to Rebbe that it certainly would require a new Kiddush the moment that it came time for the period of Lina, which would be right after Amud HaShachar. Therefore, Tzricha, so now we know all the way the extreme of Rebbe Shita, that even if you're still busy in the same Aveda, you're still going to be Lina Mo'elet, and you'll have to do a new Kiddush Adayim Raglayim. And we also know the extreme sheet of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that even if you weren't literally doing the same Aveda, as long as you weren't Mesalik your Das from the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, the Lina isn't actually going to be possibly it. Now, I must tell you that the way that Rashi understands the whole sugya is that it's sort of a borrowed term to talk about Lina Mo'elet. It's not literally the din of Lina that would passel, let's say, a dam that it comes to the evening time, or would passel a vorim that were left on off of the Mizbeach in the morning time. The concept of Lina Mo'elet, according to Rashi, is essentially a din in Hesach Hadas, really. And the idea is that once it's already after the period of Lina, so we consider it to be the equivalent of Lina. But it's not that literally there's a deraisa of a concept of Lina on him, and we're going to see more about this later. So we're using the concept of Lina, but it may involve other psulim. Now, what is the basis for Rebbe saying that Lina is poselet after Amud HaShachar? Well, it says, Begishtam, if they're coming, Begishtam El HaMizbeach, and they're coming there. First, actually, let's hear the whole Pasuk, because the Pasuk talks about two parameters. Bivoam El Ohel Moed. So first says, when they come to the Ohel Moed, Yirchatsu Mayim Velo Yamut. Okay, so that's number one. Then it says, the same Pasuk, O Begishtam El HaMizbeach L'Sharet, L'Haktir Yishel HaShem. Or when they come over to the Mizbeach and they're about to do something. So therefore, Rebbe says, look, since it's a new gisha to the Mizbeach, because basically the Mizbeach is set up every morning. We do the new Ma'arocha, and it's essentially a new Mizbeach with new Eish. So this is the first time that there's been a gisha to this Mizbeach. And therefore, that's what the point is of adding Begishtam El HaMizbeach. And what does Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon say? Well, he says, it says at the beginning of the Pasuk, Bivoam El Ohel Moed. So all that means is when you come in. Well, I did the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim when I came in. I didn't leave. So why do I have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? Well, okay, I mean, well, we're going to have to explain why it says two psukim. I mean, so let's take Rebbe first, okay? According to Rebbe, Begishtam is significant. So why bother mentioning Bevoam? I mean, if it says Bevoam, it's mashma that as long as you did it Bevoam, it wouldn't matter whether this was a new Begishtam. So how does Rebbe explain the word Bevoam? Well, says Rebbe, if it only said Begishtam and it wouldn't say Bevoam, I would think that every single time you come up to the Mizbeach to do something, even though it wasn't a new Mizbeach, so basically you had done Kabbalah Sadam, and then, you were resting a little bit. An hour later, you went ahead and you did another Kabbalah Sadam. They called upon you to do, so you, and now you're going to be Zerg Adam. You're going to have to do a new Kiddush Adam Raglayim, because it says Begishtam. That's why it says, because Rachman Bevo'am, that as long as you're still there and you did it when you went over to the Mizbeach, you don't have to do it again. And what about according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? How does he explain the fact that it says Begishtam, which is mashma that when it's a new Mizbeach, it's like a new Gisha? How does he explain Begishtam? Because, says Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, look, if it would have just said Bevo'am, I might have thought, Velokti Begishtam, I might have thought, even if you're just coming into the Beis HaMikdash, you're not about to do any Aveda, you're coming in to daven, coming in to watch what's going on, whatever. So maybe even Abia Rekanit, for no particular point, you don't have any chiev to do anything, and Afa Pikein, in the very coming in, you should need to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim. What? Abia Rekanit, how can anybody think that? It said in the pasuk, "Begishtam al mizbeach lisharet." I mean, it says that the fairish. You can't confuse that. It says if you're coming to do sherut, you're coming to do some kind of aveda. That certainly tells me that there's no din on biyarei kanit. Okay, fine. So that's not the point. You're right. Begishtam. Actually, we learn out something according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We need begishtam to teach me the halacha of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Omer of Acha bar Yaakov. Getting back to Yom Kippur, you thought it was all over, didn't you? Ha-ha. Well, turns out we're still in the Beis HaMikdash, and we've got a machlokas in Masechet Yoma about how exactly, remember it says that the Kohen Gadol has to do Chomesh Tfiles and Asara Kiddushin, right? So every time he changes clothes, he has to do a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim on his taking off his old clothes, and a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim on putting on his new clothes with a tefillah in between. So now, the question is, what was the order in that was done? So, actually, the Tanakhama argues with Rabbi Meir over there, and he says, you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim before you take off the clothes that you were wearing, maybe the big day lavan, maybe the big day zav, whatever it was, every change of one type of beggar to the other is mechayev the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim and the tefillah, right? So according to the Tanakhama, first you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, and then you take off your clothing. And according to Rabbi Meir, no, you first take off your clothing, and then you do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you have to understand that this is only talking about the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim on the removal of the clothing you were wearing before the tefillah. But everybody is made that the second Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, which is done after the tefillah, that you first put on your clothes, and then you did the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Why is that? HaKol Goyde Mikidash Sheni Kishulavush Mekadesh, the Omakra, but that means that the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim has to be done when the next step is you're doing Begishtam. But suppose the next step would be to get dressed. Then that would not be Begishtam. So that means mi she'enu mechusar ela gisha bilvad. So the only one that can do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is somebody who's only missing the actual coming to Mizbeach and doing what he wants to do. Mashenka, this Kohen, he's not going to walk up naked to the Mizbeach, obviously. He has to be wearing his big dekuna to do anything. And therefore, Begishtam would be only someone who's Bechuser Gisha and nothing but Gisha. Now, shaking this one, if we would do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before, he would be Mechuser both for Visha and Gisha, and therefore he wouldn't be Roy to do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Okay, anyway, once you're explaining that, I'm just curious about the next piece. O Begishtame La Mizbeach Lehaktir Ishe. What is that for? Why does it have to say Laktir Ishel Hashem if it says O Begishtam Al Mizbeach? I mean, Begishtam Al Mizbeach means they want to do something. So obviously, I mean, if they're going to be Maktir something on the Mizbeach, that's including it. Begishtam Al Mizbeach. Why add that? Ah, because if it hadn't said that, I might have thought that when do you have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Mao de Teimani Mile Avodah Ma'akva Kapara. That's only where you're dealing with the Dam. So the Dam is Ma'akev Kapara. But the truth is, we can even use a carbon perfectly well just by being Zerik the Dam. And if there were no Haktara Seburim, okay, it would not be Ma'akev. So I might think that doing Haktara Seburim, maybe it does not require the washing their hands and your feet. So it's an Avodah that's not Ma'akev Kapara. It's not absolutely necessary. So then maybe you don't need to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Kamash Malan, that even Lahak tears, even in doing something that we could have a kosher carbon without, nonetheless, the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is an absolute requirement. Now, question is, what exactly is the din on the kiyar itself? You see, what we've been talking about until now is something more conceptual. Are your hands, which were mekudesh with the mea kiyar, can they become possible lina? So we had a machlokus over there. But if you hold that lina doesn't help, what about the actual water in the kiyar? I mean, that's a different thing. I understand that lina doesn't work on a concept. I mean, my hands are kosher. Okay, so your hands can't become unkosher. But what about on the actual water that's in the kiyar? The kiyar is a kli sharet. And generally speaking, anything that has that Kedushas Haguf that's been put into a kli sharet, it ends up being posobelina. That's like the din of solina. So now the question is, even if you hold that ein lina mo'ela b'kedusha da'im v'raglayim, so let's say you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and lina doesn't work, but what about the water in the kiyar itself? Would the water in the kiyar be like anything else that was mekudesh b'kli shareis or not? So, what's the question? Mi amrinan hani lamai. What's the point of this water in the kiyar? Only for kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Well, kiddush yadayim v'raglayim gufayu lo posulu lina. I mean, if kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is not included in the psulina, so we're not going to be more passeling the water in the kiyar itself, because that's the only point of the water in the kiyar, is to do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Or maybe we should say, given the kaddish lo b'kli shareis, maybe it has a din of kedusha saguf, which is done inside of a kli shareis, and because of that, it would be mifsal, just like anything else is posulina once it's become kaddish. Kiyasa Ravin, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, Omer Rabbi Ami, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. We didn't know the answer, but when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that actually, ultimately, Rabbi Yochanan had paskened that even though Ilfa was the one who questioned us, is this true? What is the din, rather? In the end, Ilfa himself was the one who worked it out. And Ilfa was Parshit, and he said, basically, whatever you hold is the din about Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim is what you hold the din is about the psul of Lina on the Kiyar. So in other words, if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, that ain Lina Mo'elet, so then Lina would not be Mo'elet on the water in the Kiyar either. If you hold like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Lina is Mo'elet, so then it would be Mo'elet on the water in the kiyar. He said, "Kimachloket bezo, kach machloket bezo." So according to Rebbe, the kiyar is possible if it stays after Amud HaShachar, and according to Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, it does not. Rebbe, you're telling us that Rabbi Yochanan said that Ilfa himself came out, and according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that if Lina is not Mo'elas, then even the Mekior is not Mo'yo, that there's no Lina? I mean, take out the word Ella. Haki Yom Rabasi Yom Rabbi Yochanan Mishbeti Ilfa. I heard that what Rabbi Yochanan said, actually quoting Ilfa, is that if you don't put that kiyor into an underground well in the evening time, then mekadesh mimenu lavodas laila, but it becomes posel on the next day. Mokar einu mekadesh. Let's just talk about that for a moment. In order to avoid any problem of psul on the mekiyor, what they did was, is they had, we'll see that this was actually the machine. It was called the Muchani that was made specially later on. But essentially, the idea was, if we could reconnect the water in the Giyar to the water of the well which fed it by lowering it underground, then for sure there's no way that Lina would be Mo'yo. Lina is only Mo'yo when it's outside of the thing that is providing it. But over here, the water, the well itself, is bechaberet to the rest of the earth. And it would be similar to the idea of a worm that remain on the Mizbeach. Don't become posel. This is where they are. The kiyor now is connected to its water. That water is not separate in a separate kli. It's bechaberet to water. How's it going to become posel belina? So what they used to do is they would lower the kiyor into that well every night. Now, the question, when exactly they did that, we'll see. It could be it was right before Amud HaShachar, so that when the Amud HaShachar came, the water wasn't Nifsal. It could be that it was in the evening. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But in any event, assuming that they were actually would lower that kiyor, and it says over here that Ilfa was quoted by Rabbi Yochanan, who claimed, I mean, we were just claiming that Rabbi Yochanan said that according to Ilfa, the din of the water in the kiyor is dependent on what we paskin about your yadayim. Does Lina Moyel be yadayim or not? Now, according to this, we've got a problem because Rabbi Yochanan quoted Ilfa essay. If you did not put that kiyor underground in the evening, so then it's okay for a Kohen to still use that kiyor in the morning, before the morning, I mean, in order to do things that are kosher all night long, such as, I don't know, a varim that need to be put on the Mizbeach, yes. But the next day, he cannot use the water in that kiyor because apparently it became posel in the morning with the Amud HaShachar. So we ask at that time that Rav Asi said that this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, Ilfa Shita, when you said Lamachar Eino Mekadesh, what exactly did you mean? Did you mean that if you were Mekadesh in the evening, sometime during the night, that you don't need to be Mekadesh? When you say Lamachar Eino Mekadesh, does that mean he doesn't have to be Mekadesh because it was already good since you can even do it for 10 days in a row, which is, of course, would be Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Shita? Or did you mean he cannot be Mekadesh because it became posel the next day? So the question over here would be, how exactly would this work? According to Rebbe, it's clear that if the kiyor was out, so then, for sure, since even the Kiddush Yadayim Veraglayim themselves become posel in the morning, of course the Mei HaKiyor would become posel in the morning. So it must be that what you were saying was that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon himself would also hold that it became posel in the morning. Now remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we know that Kemachloket Bezu, Kemachloket Bezu, he held that the Dinim were interdependent. And that according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, if, in fact, you could not pasul the Yadayim v'Raglayim, you wouldn't be able to pasul the Mei HaKiyor. And here it says that we were questioning about what the idea is about psulina. And the problem is that Rav Asi, who was quoting the whole thing from Ilfa, he wasn't sure what was meant. Did Ilfa mean that according to Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon, the Mei Kiyor would become pasul? Or did he mean to say, no, you don't need to be Mekadesh because the Mei Kiyor would not be made pasul? Now you, Rav Yochanan, are telling us that you know that Ilfa, in the end, said that it was actually dependent on the shitas that you held about the Yadayim, according to which the din would be that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who holds that Ein Lina Mo'elet, would also hold that the Mei Kiyor cannot become pasul. So I'm so confused, because there Rav Asi didn't say. He said, I don't know, I'm not sure. And Rebbe Ami, you're telling us that actually Rabbi Yochanan said that no, in the end, Ilfa himself would say that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Kimei Kiyor never become pasul. So I don't know who to believe anymore. Okay, so we don't know. So we know that Rabbi Asi was unable to tell us that Ilfa was clear about this. One quote from Rabbi Yochanan says that Ilfa was clear about it. Let's see if we can actually bring a clear raya as to what the din is. The essential question, again, that Ilfa raised is, was there a psul that would apply to the water in the Kiyar, even if you held that the Yadayim themselves are not pasul? That was the question. According to Rebbe, that the hands themselves become pasul, so for sure the water is going to be pasul. But now the question that Ilfa raised is, what's the din? I'll leave it to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. Okay, let's take a look at the Mishnah in Yuma. So there was a gentleman by the name of Ben Katin, and he was Zocher L'Tov because he made 12 Dad L'Kiyor. See, he made 12 different brazim, 12 different, how do you say it there is in English?
Spigots.
Faucet.
Or spigot.
Yeah, okay. So why did he make 12? Because in order to be able to be makriv, the carbon tamid, there were 12 kohanim that needed to be mekadesh yadayim v'ragleim, as we're going to see later on. So that in order for all of the kohanim that needed to take care of their particular piece of the job of bringing the carbon tamid, so he made 12 different spigots that would be available for 12 kohanim all at one time. Good, wonderful thing that he did. And another thing that he did, and here's the part that's important to us, he also made a muchani l'kiyor. Muchani is the Greek word mechanic, a machine. In other words, he made a machine that would allow the kiyor to be lowered down into the mayan at night in the bar, and then the machine would lift up the kiyor in the morning, which otherwise would be very difficult to do. So since it was mechanical, it was able to be done very simply. So now, I'm assuming that this Mishnah is true according to everybody. I mean, it's like describing the history of the development of the Kiyar. And it's taken for granted that was historically an important event that Ben Katin mechanized the Yerida of the Kiyor, certainly according to Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon as well. But why would we need to do that if it were correct to say that a Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, if he holds that Lina is not Mo'elet on the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so we've been thinking that Ilfa wasn't sure. Maybe that's true about the Mei HaKiyor. So you see that that's not true, and that we're very happy that Ben Katin invented this machine. And that way, even Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon wouldn't have a problem with the water of the Kiyar becoming nifsal by putting it down and putting it underground every night. Isn't that reasonable? It doesn't prove anything. I mean, how do we know that it's going according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? Maybe the Mishnah is just going according to Rebbe. And according to Rebbe, Rebbe was very happy with Ben Katin's Berein Echinami. According to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, It wasn't necessary. Fine. Okay. There's a bit of a problem, obviously, to say that there's a historical machlokas whether they had a machine or not. So, okay, the mafarshim go and explain why we would have a machine, even according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, maybe because there was a shaila of whether it would be possible for mincha, not for the dam. Okay, it's all kinds of fascinating discussions among the achronim because it's so unreasonable to say that the Gemara is assuming that according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, it never happened that Ben Katan made the muchani. Okay, all right, but in any event, says the Gemara, how could you say that this Mishnah is going according to Rebbe if the Mishnah has got to be going a dafka according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Because the first part of the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Now, before we get to this, I forgot to press record. Okay. So, before we get to this, let me just remind you of the halacha of Tzofen, because this is going to be significant in understanding what's happening over here. Remember that for Kodshei Kodashim, all of the korbanos that are Kodesh Kodashim need shchita b'tzofen, correct? Now, the question is, what is tzofen? So, you could say tzofen is simply the north side of the Azara, the entire Azara, from the entryway into the Azara, which was called Sha'ar Nignanor, and all the way up to the Heichal, and all of that area was called tzofen. However, it's not so pashut, because besides being the Tzofen, it also needs to be on the Yerech HaMizbeach. So now the question is, how literal is that meant? Is it only the area between the northern wall of the Mizbeach and the northern wall of the Azora? That's called both Tzofen, and it's also called the Yerech HaMizbeach. Or is it any area, draw a line, and any area that would be Tzofen, and the Mizbeach is visible from, maybe that would be Tzofen. So that would allow you to have anything from that point, and we'll see, there's a big machlokes about whether that point on the Mizbeach was the midway point or not. That's a machlokes that we'll get to later. But in any event, any area at all from which the Mizbeach would be visible that was in the northern part of the Mizbeach, that would all, northern part of the Azara, that would all be kosher. Now, that's the extreme. But there's shittas in the middle. Maybe the area from the Mizbeach till the Heichal, that would be kosher, but the areas that were from the entranceway, from Sha'ar Nignanor, the first 11 amos were available for anybody to walk in, and they were called the Yud Alef Amos of Drisas Yisrael. The next 11 amos, which brought you all the way up to the Mizbeach, they were called the Mokom Drisas Kehanim. However, since they are of a lower level of Kedusha in terms of how makbid we are about who goes there, because beyond that, only a Kohen is being Isaac and the Avodah goes, nobody goes between the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal itself, or the Ulam itself in front of the Heichal. So we have basically these different shitas. Maybe it's the whole Azara, maybe it's only the area of the Tzofen from the Mizbeach to the wall, or maybe it's the area from the beginning of the Mizbeach all the way up to the Heichal, but not the first 22 Amos, okay? Once that's clear, then this sugya will be very straightforward. So the Reisha of the Mishnah is clearly going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and therefore I'm assuming that the Seifa is also going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Because let's take a look at the Reisha of that Mishnah, and it seems clear there's no other way to understand it. This is the Mishnah in Yuma. And the Mishnah says, Balo Eitzo Poro. So here we are, the Kohen Gadol is coming to do the Shechita of his Par on Yom HaKippurim. As I said, until Sukkot, you're not going to get away with nothing. We're still holding into Kedusha of Yom Kippur over here. And so the Kohen comes up to his Par. The Par was actually standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Now, if it's standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and that's where he's going to do the Shechita, then obviously we have to be holding, according to the Shita, that Tzafon is not limited to the area between the northern wall of the Mizbeach and the wall of the Azora, because we're already Bein HaOlam LeMizbeach, which means we're further in towards the Heichal. And not everybody holds that that's considered to be Tzafon. Okay, but let's first finish what it says. So his part was standing there between the Ulam HaMizbeach, and it was basically standing north to south. Its head was facing towards the south, but its face was twisted to face towards the actual Heichal. So they forced it to look to the Heichal. We didn't want it defecating in the direction that if we would have had it standing straight, it's not covered. So we had it standing with its rear end in the other direction. But its face was towards the Heichal. And he would come to that par, and now he would be standing in himself. He was standing in the east, facing towards the Heichal in the west, so that his back was towards the Mizbeach. He puts his hands on it, and he now does the Vidui, and then he does the Shechita, and so on. Now, here's what my point is. Who is the Man D'Omer who holds that that area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach is also considered to be Tzafon, even though it's not from the wall of the Mizbeach, Tzafon, to the wall of the Azor? Is this all clear so far? Nobody's got any problems with it? Just you've got the map of the Azor clear in your head. If anybody's got a picture of that map, maybe they could just post it, in case anybody's not familiar with the setup in the Azara. You could put it on the daf or put it over here. I don't know if you could do that. Anyway, so who is the Man D'Omer who says that that area where we're claiming that the Kohen Gadol did the Shechita, which was Bein Ulam HaMizbeach, is also considered to be north, even though it is further towards the west than the Mizbeach itself? Well, I got news for you. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Because the Tanakhama actually disagrees, Tanakhama's Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees with that whole idea. Take a look in the Braita, you'll see. Ezehu Tzafon, says the Braita, what is considered to be the north that the Torah is makbid on, Tzafena. That Tzafena is from the northern wall of the Mizbeach only until the northern wall of the Azara. And any place that is connected, Kol HaMizbeach, any place that's connected, those 32 Amot of the Mizbeach, that's all kosher for doing the Shechita of Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that's all called north. So it says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol could not have shechted his par, which is Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, right? Okay, but Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, even Bein Olam v'la Mizbeach is also considered to be Tzofen. Okay, so then that means that this deal about where the par was has got to be going to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Now, the problem is, as the Gemara is about to point out, that this is sort of a ridiculous proof, because let's read on, and we'll see that Rebbe, who is the one who argues in Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon about the idea of Lina Mo'elet, actually could be the author of the Mishnah just as well as Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Because Rebbe says, forget about just that area. Even the 22 Amot, the 11 Amos of Mokum Trisus Ragri HaKohanim, and even the other 11 Amos of Mokum Trisus Ragri Yisrael, all of that is all part of Tzafon. There's no problem whatsoever. So, I mean, obviously, according to Rebbe, it should work out fine, because, I mean, if he's adding even that part, as the Gemara is going to point out, which was a lesser level of Kedusha, so that he would certainly agree with Rebbe Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon about this point, wouldn't he? Okay, we'll get to this in a moment. Aval min ha-chalifot ve-lifnim ha-kom odim she-posul. What are the chalifot? So remember, did anybody post? Is there anything to show here? Did anyone post a picture of? No. Yes, you did. Okay. So
Rebbe needs to drink.
Alone? Yeah. Where is it? Where did you post on the daf? Okay, I'm not hearing him. So there's also the Beit HaChalifot. What is the Beit HaChalifot? So remember that the Ulam, which is like the porch area in front of the Heichal, extends on either side of the Heichal by an additional 15 amot. Behind that area were the lockers. Now those lockers were called the Beit HaChalifot because they were the lockers of the Kohanim. And everybody remember, if anybody who knows a shechet, the worst thing you can do is take away his shechita knife. I mean, that shechita knife, that's his life, right? So no Kohen's going to give up his shechita knife. So everyone had a locker to keep their shechita knife. So that was called the chalaf. The chalaf is Arabic for a knife, and it's called a chalaf in Hebrew because it's machalif. It's the agency of making that distinction between life and death. So they called it the chalaf. So the makom ha-chalifot was the locker area for the Kohanim. The thing is that since that was in the back of the extension of the ulam, the porch in front of the Heichal, if you were standing there, you could not see the Mizbeach. And since you could not see the Mizbeach, because it was blocked by the ulam, the extension of the ulam, it's not kosher, because that you cannot call by any stretch of the imagination. You can't call that al yerech ha-mizbeach. You can't even see the mizbeach from there. Fine. So once you get to the Beit HaChalifot area, at that point it's possible. But anything that you could see the mizbeach from, and it's north, according to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and certainly here according to Rebbe, it is all kosher. So komodim shepasul. So since the Mishnah begins with Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon Shita, that the power of the Kohen Gadol was standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, it's reasonable to think that the whole thing essentially is Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, and therefore Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon actually is the author of the second part of the Mishnah. No, I understand what you're saying. But you're claiming that it's Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, not Rebbe? Why would it not be Rebbe? I mean, Hashta Rebbe ad Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda Mosi. Rebbe is adding even to what Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda said, right? That you could do it even in the 11 Amos and the other 11 Amos. What, you think he's only adding to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda was the Tanakhama? He's not adding on Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. I mean, he certainly would agree that the area Bein HaOlam v'Mizbeach is even better. If the lower level of Kedusha of the 11 Amos and the other 11 Amos is good enough for Tzofein, for Kodshei Kodashim, certainly Bein HaOlam v'Mizbeach would be kosher. So what the heck makes you think that the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? It makes no sense at all what you're saying. No, you misunderstand me. Look, we don't really want an animal to be standing up close to the Heichal. I mean, it's not covered, right? So, I mean, why would we bring the par all the way up Bein Olam HaMizbeach, according to Rebbe, if you got the whole Azora from Shar Niknor? I would obviously try to keep the animal away from an area in which its defecation would be inappropriate in the Beis HaMikdash. So why wouldn't I do the Shechita in the opening of the base of the Azora, you know? That's what we meant to say. That Isaac Adaitach Rebbe, you think that the opening of the Mishnah was talking about Rebbe. So then why didn't we put the par in those 22 Amos? Look, Mabim Komdri says Ragway Akoanim, Mabimkomdri says Ragway Yisrael. Come on, who are you trying to fool, buddy? I understand. And if it's Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, you have exactly the same question. Why would we put the par all the way up next to the Heichal if we could certainly have put it anywhere along the edge of the Mizbeach? We could have had it like 50 feet before that. The Mizbeach is 32 Amos, for heaven's sakes. So why in the world did we stoop it all the way up to the Heichal? So anyway, you're going to have to answer that question. So it has nothing to do with the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So Elamai, it's going like Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. You have the same question. Why can't you put the par Mikir Mizbeach Tzfoni at Kotel Azara Tzfoni, 50 feet away? So why do we bring it all the way up? Elamayis Lach Lomemer, what are you going to answer yourself about Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? That since all of the Avodah on Yom Kippur needed to be done by this poor Kohen Gadol, who by this point is absolutely exhausted, he's been kept up all night long, And now he's fasting and he's working and doing everything all on his own that needs to be done. So we try to make things as easy as possible on him. We're going to make him walk 50 feet extra to be able to now do the Shechita, then go back and take the Dam into the Heichal. No, let's try to make it easy on him. So we'll bring that Par all the way up to the Heichal. He does the Shechita, walks into the Heichal with the Dam, and that's much easier. That's all. So that was why we did it for Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. So for Rebbe, we do the same thing. So it was Mishum Chulshu LeKohen Gadol. So Achinami Mishum Chulshu LeKohen Gadol. For Rebbe, it's the same idea. So please, forget it. This argument is ridiculous. Omer Rebbe Yochanan. I want to tell you something else over here. And this has everything to do with our assumptions here. Because remember the Seder of the Aveda in the day. There's the concept called Krot HaGever. So Krot HaGever either means from the cock's crow, or it means from Mister's crow, which is a certain person who was appointed to go around waking people up. And that was called Gvini Cruz. He used to announce, get up, like they used to do here in the Me'er Sharim every night, Shteyuf, Shteyuf, Lavidas HaBerei. So that would wake you up at about 4 o'clock in the morning. Everybody was supposed to get up, and over here he would announce, Yisrael, Abam, Odom, and Levim, and the Koyanim, oh, get yourself ready and get out of bed and get moving. Okay, but in any event, so that's like an hour before the actual Amud HaShachar, right? So that's Krot HaGever. He gets everybody up, and and then the first thing that's done is that the Kohen goes before Alos HaShachar. One Kohen goes, it's still dark, and he walks in the dark to the light of the Eish on the Mizbeach. He goes up the Mizbeach. He had to do Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, obviously, because he is about to do what is known as the Trumat HaDeshen. So the Trumat HaDeshen was not a practical removal of ash from the Mizbeach. The practical removal was done by just any Kohen. This was a special mitzvah called the Truma. He would take one of the machta filled with ash from the inside parts that were completely well burned. He would walk down the kevesh of the Mizbeach and he would deposit this on the side of the kevesh, and it would be miraculously absorbed into the ground, and they never saw it again. So that was the Trumat HaDeshen that was done every single morning. Now, this still took place before Alos HaShachar. And Rabbi Yochanan said that if a Kohen was Mekadesh his hands for doing the Trumat HaDeshen after the Alos HaShachar, which is the next day technically, remember, in the Beis HaMikdash, the days went according to the sunrise, not the way it is on Shabbos. So when it comes to Kachim, the day begins in the morning. So therefore, Lemachar, the next day, meaning once the morning comes about in another half an hour, Eino Tzarech L'Kaddish, he does not have to do an additional Kiddush, because he already did the Kiddush. Shekvar Kiddush Mitchilat Avodah. So even though it was before the Amud HaShachar, it was done for the Aveda of the day, because that was the first thing he needed to do before getting the Mizbeach ready for the new age and so on. Now, the question is that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying simply doesn't seem to work according to anybody. Because was he talking about according to Rebbe? How could he use a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that was there from before Alos HaShachar, if according to Rebbe, Lina is Moyel to Pasel the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? So as soon as the Alos HaShachar would come, it would not be kosher. And Rabbi Yochanan says it would be kosher because he already did the Kiddush at that point. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, what do you mean? He wouldn't even have had to have done that before. I mean, if he was a Kohen that was working there all night, you know, so ain't Tzarech L'Kaddish afilu mikan v'ad asara yomim. So a Kohen who had been Kaddish for before for the next 10 days theoretically doesn't have to. So then even if it was the Kiddush from the days before, it should be able to continue to do Avodah. Why are you telling me only the Kohen who was Mekadesh Yodav for the Trumas Hadesh and he can continue to work? Any Kohen can continue to work according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So this is a contradiction to both of the Shittas of the Tanoim, Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and all of a sudden Rabbi Yochanan, where does Rabbi Yochanan get such an idea from? Amar Abaye, the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan was going according to Rabbi, and that Lina is Mo'elet. But let's remember, there's no real din of Lina here. Lina, the concept of Lina is a drabona. Remember, there can't be Lina on an abstraction. There's no kedusha in a kli of your hands, okay? So for sure we understand there's no literal Lina. So we said, okay, so we talked about before, okay, what's Rebbe's Sfara? Well, it says Begishtam, Alam Mizbeach. So, okay, so we create this concept of a Lina in terms of the first time you're coming to the Mizbeach. But, I mean, that would not really possible with Lina. So the mechanisms we're going to see is actually the mechanism called Hesach Hadas, according to Rashi. So the concept of Hesach Hadas, we spoke about when we were learning Tyrus, and we learned a lot about Hesach Hadas, especially Benogea Tuma, that would have to do with the Porah Aduma or Bekachim. The moment, remember that Seder Tyrus is called Das, where Seder Kachim is called Chochmas. Now, Chochmas does not require Das as so much as the name Tuma do. Das is a function of consciousness. Chochmah is a matter of understanding. So when we're talking about the dinim of the psukim that we've been learning here in Zvachim, that's incredible chochmah. That teaches you to be aware of every nuance and to be able to analyze the pasuk, to have a fantastic literal awareness, but not conscious awareness necessarily. When it comes to tumah, there we get to the problem of conscious awareness. The moment that you lose consciousness of something, it's called Hesach Hadas. So you start thinking about something else. Then when it comes to many of the dinim, you automatically become Tamei, even though that's ridiculous. In the Torah, you can't automatically become Tamei. But the Rabbanan extended the concept of conscious awareness for Das, for those things that require very special levels of Tahira, such as certain Kachim and Paraduma, to include even losing awareness for a moment, you got to start all over again, and you become Tommy. Okay, so now, if that is the mechanism, then in reality, there's no real din of this automatic soul of Lina that comes down on things and is mashra, a ruach hatuma on them or whatever, it makes them all pus, right? There's no such thing. It was a creation of the Darabbanan. So therefore, says Abaye, even according to Rebbe, the reality is that Lina is a Darabbanan. So Rebbe is moda that mikro tagever, v'yad safra lo pasol Lina. There's no din of a psul of Lina from the beginning of Krot HaGever, which is the whatever it was, a half an hour before Amud HaShachar. And that Krot HaGever, that is really part of the night completely. But look, we're not going to be gozer on that. Why? Because anybody that does a Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, then in his mind, it's already the day. He's starting his work. So Mamela, there's no real mucker for passing anything at that time. That's how I understand, says Abaye. It could be going like Rebbe. Rava says, actually, Rabbi Yochanan was going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. I don't understand what your problem is. What Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, I hold that what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said is absolutely right, but only what he said about the beginning of the Aveda. But once the Aveda of the night is finished, so then I don't hold of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So because of that, it's true. Remember the language of that second Braita? The B'tchilas Aveda, That I hold is only the time that it makes sense. It was at the beginning of the Aveda. Then it doesn't become possible. But if you've been working all night and now you're finishing your Aveda, then it does become possible. So basically, Rabbi Yochanan represents a third shita because he paskins like Rabbi in one sense, but he paskins like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon in another sense. So there is Lina, yes. But the Lina, if you're starting the Aveda, the Lina doesn't possible. Okay. Says the Gemara, that's not a very good answer because it doesn't make sense according to the Mishnah in Tamid. The Mishnah in Tamid says that as soon as the other Kohanim saw the person who did the Trumas of the ash that was on the Mizbeach, they saw him coming down and they were finishing, he was finishing, they came running, came Ratzu Uvahu, and they got ready to take care of the other Aveda. And they rushed to be my Miaruva Kichuya Deim Vragleim Min Hakiyar. So what was there to be done after that? Either they had to clear off the rest of the ashes on the Mizbeach after what was a specific mitzvah of the truma that was taken from those ashes, and they took off the rest of the ashes, if there was a lot of ash, to clean off the Mizbeach to be able to start a new day. Or, if there wasn't too much, they would sweep all of those ashes up to what was known as the Tapuach. The Tapuach was the round pile of ash in the middle of the Mizbeach, depending on how much ash there was. So they ran in order to take care of that problem. Okay, very good. So the problem, however, is, according to Abaye says that Rebbe basically, he said Rebbe Yochanan basically agrees with Rebbe, except that Rebbe himself was later that we did not make a gezerah of a psulina from the time of Krota Gever. So that's fine that this would be going according to Rebbe. All of the Kohanim ran because it was already after Krota Gever because we already did the actual Truma, and therefore anybody that's going to now do additional work to take off the ashes, that's fine. So the Truma's Hadeshan started it, and then came the rest of the removal of all of the Deshan on the Mizbeach. But according to Rava said that Rabbi Yochanan was going according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. But according to Rabbi, there's no difference. You would be puzzled from Krota Gever, Ad Safra, Puzzlelina. Even when that half an hour finishes, according to Rebbe, you're going to need a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim. So who is this going according to? If it's going according to Rebbe, why would anybody run to do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim now if it's going to become possible in a few minutes? So according to Rebbe, Puzzlelina. So it's not going to help you much. And if it's according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, any Kohen that was there all night long and had been working, he wouldn't need to do anything. I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about Kohenim that were there, and they saw this Kohen coming down that he did. He was a new Kohen, and he had come specially in order to do the Trumas Hadeshen. It says that they had to run and do Kiddush again. Why would they need to do Kiddush again? According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they don't need to do Kiddush again. What makes you think that these are Kohanim that have been up all night? Excuse me? Yeah, the Kohen that was doing the Trumas Hadeshen, you know he was a new Kohen. These Kohanim are also new Kohanim. Leolam Kareb Elazar Rebbe Shimon, makes perfectly good sense. The Mishnah is talking about Kohanim that had not worked at night, and therefore, even according to Rebbe Shimon, of course, they would now need to do a Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim, and that Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim would be perfectly good for the whole day. Because after all, that's Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Shita, that Lina is Eina Mo'elet for Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim. The question that we started with was the overall idea. Is Lina Mo'elet on the Kiddush Yadayim V'Ragleim? So that means if the Kohen was Mekadosh Yadayim V'Ragleim, and now comes the time where anything that had been Mekudosh starts its new day, and remember, new day begins for Hekdesh in the morning and not at the night, the way the Moedim begin. So then we found that there was a machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, about whether you need to redo the Kiddush because you have a new, so to speak, gisha to the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach is now reorganized. It's been new, it's been cleaned off, and it started the age, the new age that the Kohanim brought. And we said that since it says in the Pasuk, Begishtam el HaMizbeach, this would require a new gisha, which obviously is not really the concept of Lina. Lina has nothing to do with Begishtam el HaMizbeach. It just has to do with anything that was Bekudesh in a Klisharis becomes Pasuk. But we understand that your hands were not Mekudesh in the Klisharis. It's just that the water was Mekudesh. The water is not on your hand anymore. So that din of Kiddush, Yadayim V'Raglayim, Lina affecting it, even according to Rebbe, who says that Lina is Moelet B'Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, it was actually only a Darabonan, as we said yesterday. And as I started explaining yesterday, Rashi understands that the functionality of this Gezerah is built on the idea of Hesach Hadad. So in the same way that we have this concept of maintaining awareness and consciousness of things, Benogea Tuma, we have this halacha to keep the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim Kadosh. You cannot be Mesiach Yor Das. And this idea of being Mesiach Yor Das, particularly for Tumas Yadayim, is ubiquitous because we find that anybody that had been Nerta Yadav and then is Mesiach Daitai from that Natilas Yadayim, because Yadayim Askariotem, you see, your hands are always touching things. You're not even aware of the fact that they're moving all over the place. You know, you may have scratched yourself somewhere, you know, to an itch. You don't remember. You touched a part of the body that was Bechusser or something like that. Those are all Gezeiros for Natilas Yadayim. So that essentially, the idea of Lina is the way that we apply a concept that does actually prove to be meaningful across all of the other inyanim of Kodesh, where you actually add something that was Mekudesh, and it would be possible Lina, so we use the word Lina. Now the question was whether there really would be a psul of Lina on the water that's in the Kiyar, because after all, the water in the Kiyar is Mekudesh in a Klisharis, Kiyar being a Klisharis, and therefore should have a true din of Lina on it, which would mean that even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, who said that, well, you can't apply a concept of Lina to Yadayim, and there's no water on your Yadayim, what would the Lina be? Lina is on a concept. Who ever heard of a concept being Lina? So he disagreed with that, but he might agree to the din of Lina on the actual water that was in the Kiyar. So there, yesterday, we said that there was some kind of confusion with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Ami about whether Ilfa was the one who raised the question. The question was not clear. Is it, in fact, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that Lina would be Moelet on the water in the actual Kiyar? Or was it only an extension of Rebbe? And if you held that Lina is not Moelet for Kiddush, it's not Moelet for the Kiyar either. So this we had a machlokas. It turned out that it was actually a three-way machlokas because Rabbi Yochanan partially held of what it was the Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon was, and partially not. But we'll talk about that more today. In any event, once we created this idea of the psul of Lina being enough to get you to require a new Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so the question is whether we actually applied all of the different halachas that affect the dinim of a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, do we extend them the same idea of the equivalence of Heskadat? So let's say, for instance, we have a concept of Yotze. So let's say you have something that is Yotze Chutz L'Mechitzotav. Now, this is a very technical thing. If something is not within its parameters, then remember it's considered to be Trefa. This we learn out from the idea, a very sophisticated idea, called Boser Besada Trefa Lo Techeh, which people think that that simply means if you had an animal that attacked your cow or something and tore at it, so then that cow would be taruf in that field, and there's something organically wrong with it. And that certainly is one level of understanding the issue. But the more complex understanding of the issue is that anything that is yotzei chutz l'mechitzato is what's really meant. Because dimensions, the Torah recognizes that dimensionality is basically an imagination of humans. And we consider the three spatial dimensions to be somehow built in to the whole idea of physics and so on, which is in no way clear at all. And therefore, the definition of a dimensional violation, according to the Torah, would be a dimension in space that was defined by a particular din or by a particular visible structure. So in other words, if you build a house, then the inside of that house, because it has bechitzos around it, is seen by you as being dimensionally different than outside of the house. Now, what that would mean to a muon is really not very meaningful, right? But okay, it's meaningful to you. So that would be considered to be a yotze. But there are circumstantial yitzias. For instance, to a fetus, the inside of its mother's womb is the dimensionality that contains it, right? Now, suppose that fetus, in the process of being born, sticks its hand out of the mother's womb and then pulls it back. This is something that happens quite often. How about if it happens to a cow and there's a calf there that stuck a leg out of the womb and then pulled it back in? The idea of yotze means that that leg is treif, because it was yotze chutz lemechitzato. Now you'll say, as far as the farmer is concerned, it ain't a dimension, but that's not the point of view of the fetus. So again, dimensionality is defined in the Torah by the particulars of the application. So now, if something is supposed to be inside of the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, where the Kohen is going to be doing his avod, he went ahead and he was Mekadesh Yada Varakla. If he goes out of that area, is that a violation of dimensionality, which now is Mechayev Nu Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim? Now, obviously, there's no such concept, because we're talking about an idea. I mean, how does an idea get Yotze? But again, the same way that we created the idea of Lina, and it's not really Lina, on Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, based on what? Hesach Hadad. So then the same issue, this is the way that Rashi understands the continuing sugya, that it's all a function of Hesach Hadat, and it seems quite clear that that is the issue from the Gemara itself, as we're going to see. So if you're going to tell me that we're going to look at this as Hesach Hadat, so then would it be possible? Even if you say that Ibn Solomon Lina lo possible, maybe the reason that Lina itself, if you would hold that Lina doesn't possible, so we could still say that that's because Lo Parish. I mean, he was still doing Avoda, but how about Yitzia? And Yitzia actually couldn't be doing Avoda because he's not in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what really happened over here was Hesach Hadas. He's not thinking of Avoda. And therefore, he's Mesiyach Baite from the Avoda, and this should definitely be a psul of Yotze in terms of our new Hesach Hadat. That's our question. So here, where he's Parish, Asuche Misach Daite, we assume that he would be Mesiyach Hizdas, or do we say that Kil Udilma Kiman de Biyodo Lachzor, he could always walk back in? I mean, it's not as if this is a time violation, it's only a space violation. So he could always walk back into where he was, and then he would be okay. And therefore, maybe it's not considered to be Hesach Hadas. So you see clearly that it's a getter of Hesach Hadas. It even speaks it out in the Gemara over here. Asuche Mesach Daite. Tashma, let's take a look. Kidesh Yadav V'Raglav V'Nitma'u. So here it says that if he became Tameh, all he needs to do, this means that the hands became Tameh. Remember that there's a special din of Tumas Yadayim, which allows hands to be Tameh, even though the rest of the body isn't Tameh. So now his hands became Tameh. Of course, that's only a din d'rabbanan. So then he can simply put those hands into a mikveh, which is what you do for Kodesh, and that means that they're now Tohar. So does he need new Kiddush? No. Inotzerich l'kadesh. If, however, yatsu, suppose they actually went out. Now, this means their hands went out or your feet went out. Doesn't mean the rest of you went out. Could mean that you stuck your hands out and the rest of your body remained in the chotzer. So then if the hands or feet were yatsu, they also are okay. Harein begdushatan, you do not have to do a kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So you see that yotze is not mechayef and renewed kiddush adayim v'raglayim. No, come on, we weren't as. We know that technically it's not. I mean, sticking your hands out is only a technical yitziah. Obviously, if your hand, your body would still be behind in the place where you're doing avoda. So yotze yadav lo kami boilan, that wasn't our question. We were only questioning if the Kohen himself is standing outside of the Atzor, and he is unable to do Afeida where he is. So he's Mesiach Da'at. That's what we were thinking. So Kikomi Baylan, our only question related to the Kohen who entirely walked out, not his hands walked out, but Yotze Kol Gufo. That was the question. You haven't brought me any raya about that. So try again. Okay. Take a look at this tashma, a kohen shelo rochutz yadayim v'raglayim, he has to be mekadesh his yadav v'raglav either with the giyor or with any kli sharet, as we're going to see. Any kli sharet is as good as the giyor that makes the mayim kodesh to be able to be mekadesh yadav v'raglav. But suppose he was mekadesh with a kli sharet, but it was outside of the chutz. This is in terms of the Mishkan. Obviously, we don't call it the Chatzur, we call it the Azora today, but putting it in terms of the original Kiyor. So he's standing outside of the Chatzur today, outside of the Azora, and he's Mekadosh with a Kli Sharet. Or he went into the Chatzur, but he didn't use not the Kiyor and not any type of Kli Sharet. It was a Kli Chol. Or suppose he put his hands into a Mei Ma'ara. A Mei Ma'ara would be, there's a pool inside, which is a mikvah pool. You put it inside of a mikvah, and then he goes ahead and does the Aveda. The Aveda is puzzled. He's mechalel his Aveda as if he were an Eino Rochutz Yadayim V'Raglayim. So now, doesn't that mean that it's only because he did the Kiddush B'Kli Sharet B'Chutz? But suppose he had done the Kli Sharet properly, had used the Kli Sharet Bifnim, then his actual being Bechutz wouldn't have been a problem. I mean, because otherwise, why are we talking about if he did the Kiddush using a Kli Sharet Bechutz, then he's Mechal V'Aveda? I mean, even if he had done it Bifnim and he had walked out, he would be Mechal V'Aveda. If you're going to say that Yotze is considered to be as a Chadat, so you see from here that apparently our Kiddush Bifnim, so if he had done the Kiddush properly, and then he would have been Yotze, then Avodato would have been kosher. Well, maybe that's not the point. Maybe when it says the case where he was Mekadosh B'Kli Sharet B'Chutz, it does not mean that he walked out. It means that he stuck his hands out, and he did the Kiddush outside. But that doesn't prove anything, because all it proves is that if he had done the Kiddush inside, and Afik Yodei Levar, and he had stuck his hands, but his body remained inside, it would be kosher, which we already said is true. But our question is, what is the din about Yotze Kol Gufo? And that question stands, and I am waiting for an intelligible answer. Yotze Kol Gufo, I'm still asking you. Tiboylecha. Or my labor is Vidler, but I think I've got a proof. Okay, take a look at this. Tashma. Yotze Chutz L'Mechitzat Chomat Azara. A Kohen actually went out. That means his whole body. He walked out, right? So then it depends. If he left and he's going to be out there for a while, im lishot, he requires tefillah. If he's just going out for a bit, then he needs kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. So that means that even going out for a little bit of time is mechayev you in kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Okay. If you need even a mikveh, if you go out for a longer time, so then for sure you're going to need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, because anybody that comes into the Beis HaMikdash is going to need to go to the mikveh and do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Rav Papa said to Rav Zid, you do not understand this brisa that you're quoting, sir. When it says over there a long time or a short time, it's a euphemism for using the bathroom for a long time or a short time. So basically what it's saying is if you went out for a long time to defecate, so then you're going to need to go to the mikveh plus kiddush adayin raglayim. If you went out to urinate a short time, so then you're going to need to do kiddush adayin raglayim. It's not talking about actually just walking out, but that can't be what it means, because that same brisa makes a klal out of it and says, zeh haklal, kol hamesach raglav, anybody who moves his bowels, don't tefila. V'chol ha-metil mayim, and anyone who urinates, requires kiddush yadayim raglayim. I mean, why say the same thing twice? If you're saying it's just a euphemism, long time or short time, then why do we spell it out in the zaklal? We already said it. Because first it says it in more a mum way. It's not clear in the beginning when we're talking about long times or short times, and then it makes the klal very clear. So it goes on. That's called Toni Vadim Mefarish, which is often done and is not that unusual, but it's not considered to be an unnecessary repetition. All right. Whew. So we have no raya yet. How about this? Tashma. How about this? A kohen is about to do the work that is needed for the Poraduma, where you burn it outside, and that's on Harazesim. And the din is over there that Reb Chiya Bar Yosef says before he goes outside to do the Aveda of the Pora Aduma, he needs to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim inside with the Kli Sharis or with the Kiyar. So first he's Mekadosh B'Kli Sharis Bifnim, and then he's Yotze. Whereas Reb Yochanan says, you could even do the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim outside, and you could even use a Kli Chol. You don't even need a Kli Sharis. For that matter, you can use a piece of garbage, a paper cup, I don't know, a feel of a Kiddush HaCheres. There's no din for the Pora Aduma of a real Kiddush HaTayim V'Raglayim. But anyway, according to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, he obviously holds that you need a real Kiddush, because he says you have to do it b'flim with the Kli Sharis, and then you walk out. Well, so obviously, if then you walk out, that means that walking out is not considered to undo your Kiddush HaTayim V'Raglayim, right? Because, I mean, otherwise, what's the point? So you have your clear raya from here. Ah, it's no raya, says Reb Papa. This is a din in a Pora Aduma. I mean, a Pora Aduma, everything that's done for the Pora Aduma is done outside of the Azara. So, since the dinim of the Pora Aduma are outside, so obviously, walking out of the Beis HaMikdash can't pass through your hands for the Pora Aduma. That would be ridiculous. Everything about the Pora Aduma is done outside. But we're talking about a regular Aveda. And between Avedas, you had done your Kiddush HaTayim V'Raglayim. You walked out for a minute to take a phone call. So now the question is the Yetziyah going to pass? So you need to do a new... I don't see an answer from here with the Pora Aduma. It's irrelevant. I don't understand. If any way you're telling me that you're going to be going outside and you're suggesting what normally that would be, absolutely would demand a new Kiddush. It's only because it's a Pora Aduma that it doesn't. That's what you're telling me. So why do it in the first place, for God's sake? If you really believe that going out is going to pasul your Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so what did you do? Something ridiculous. You had to do a Kiddush HaTayim V'Raglayim in the Azara, and then 2 minutes later, you're going to be walking out, which is going to ruin it anyway, so you might as well not do it in the first place. So Loma Lita Mekadosh, if it's true that it's still going to be possible, what would be the point in doing it in the first place? That's because Ke'en Avodat Pnim. Basically, when we do the Pora Aduma, we attempt as much as possible to make it similar to the way we would do a real avodah of a korban. Because remember that the Torah calls the Pora Aduma chatati, and obviously it's not really a chatat. It's not even kedushas aguf. It's only kedushas berak habayit, as we had before. Nonetheless, since the Torah calls it that, we try to treat it with as much respect as if it were an actual korban. Okay, so we're left apparently without any way of clarifying this din. Is Yetziyah considered to be a hesek hadat, and therefore would be a psul in kiddush yadayim raglayim. Okay, excellent question. Next question. Iboilu, how about tuma? How about if you did kiddush yadayim raglayim and then he becomes tummy, does he have to do a new kiddush yadayim raglayim? So let's say in the question we just asked, let's say you would have told me, well, Yetzia is not a psul. I mean, we didn't decide that, but maybe. So if you would say that Yetzia is not a psul, that's because Yetzia did not affect the person. So the Kohen himself was not in any way psul. He just maybe was Mesia Bato. But how about in a case where the Kohen himself becomes tummy? Now, because tummy, now he's psul, he can't do avoda. So if he can't do avoda, isn't that ipso facto a hesek hadat? And then that would be considered to be siach mesech daite. Or maybe you could say that since he knows, he just has to go to the mikveh and wait for the sun to set. So kiman da'adachasi, he knows he's going to be kosher again. He's careful to remain aware of the need to wash his hands, and to make sure that he's not mesiach daat. So dakre velo mesech daite. So that's the question. Let's see from the braita that we had before. Kiddush yadav v'raglav, it says, v'nitmehu. All he needs to do is put those hands back in the mikveh, and he doesn't need to do the kiddush yadav raglayim again. And of course, we have the same objection to this that we had to the question of sticking your hands outside. Nitmu yadav? We weren't talking about his hands became tummy. Obviously, over there, all you need to do is put them in the mikveh. There's no delay. You can do the avoda in a half a second. So that wasn't our question. Nitmu yadav lo mibaylon. We wanted to know if the Kohen himself became tummy. Nitma kogufo. And that was our problem. Wait, nitma kogufo? I didn't realize that. I mean, isn't it obvious that since he can't be ready to do avoda until tonight. So typically, even the boy Lamevat Erev Shemesh, I mean, what's he going to do the whole day? He's not going to be able not to be Mesia Bato. He can't do the avoda anyway. So for sure, he's not going to be able to not be Mesia Bato the whole day. No, but what we want to know is whether it's by definition absurd. Let's say he became Tame a minute before the sun sets, right? So all he needs to do is jump into a mikveh. By the time he gets out of the mikveh, he'd already be able to do the aveda. So that's the question. Since Lamaisa, he was pasul for the aveda, did it pasul his kiddush yadayim raglayim? So we try to bring the same raya that we brought by the parah aduma, because essentially it's always going to be nitma by the parah aduma by definition. Because remember, the parah aduma, remember the whole problem that we had over there, that since the Torah said ish tahor, so an ish tahor by definition meant that he was tamei, and that drove the tzedukim crazy, and because of that, we bedavka made him tamei, and then the only thing that he needed to be was a tful yom. So we put him in a mikveh, now he's a tful yom, and we did that on purpose. But if that's the case, then when it says that we do the kiddush yadayim raglayim for the parah, and then we go ahead and we're metame him, that means that we're ruining the kiddush yadayim raglayim, right? So it doesn't make any sense. Same, basically the same raya that we had earlier about yotze. So tashma, pora Rabbi Chiya Rabbi Yosef Eimer, mikadosh bikli shoreis bifnim v'yotze. And Rabbi Yochanan said, no, it can be a paper cup, afilu b'chutz, afilu bikli chol, afilu b'mekedosh el cheres. There's no din of real kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. Now, I mean, the case of a parah is always going to be tamei because we go out of our way, like we learned in the Mishnah in Masechet Parah, that it says, "B'tamima yu akoina sarevet haparah madbilina tolotzi milim anshel tzedukim." There used to be davka be metamei the kohen, put him in a mikvah, and then before he had a chance for the sun to set, he would do the aveda of the parah aduma as a tful yom. And this was just a slap the face of the tzedukim who claim, no, what do you mean? It says ish tahor, he's got to be completely tahor. And we went ahead and bedavka, did not do it with Be'uril Ve'Shemesh. We did it with Etvul Yom. And that was to be motzmi libam shayorim ibu'urav eshemesh ha'itanaset. And afal pikein, the kiddush adayim raglayim that we said he needed to do before bifnim, according to Rav Bar Yosef, it's still a good kiddush adayim raglayim. So shmamina that tuma did not pasul. The farish, no pasul about tuma. Yeah, but like we said before, Pora is different because it's full yom, actually has no impact on a para. So because of that, we're also, maybe the truth is that Tuma would pasul normally, but since para is kosher with Tuma, so because of that, it doesn't pasul. So then I don't understand what would be the point of doing the Kiddush in the first place if it's not a real Kiddush and it's just going to be pasul. Lomali to Mekadosh in the first place. And as we answered before, Benogea Yotzei, we try to do the best we can to make a para aduma look as if it's a real carbon, even though we know that obviously you're going to have to be metame it, or in the previous case, you're going to have to be yotze with it, because that's how you do it. But still, we do the kiddush yotayim raglayim before.